Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 9. We're so very, very happy to see each of you here today. We appreciate your presence so very, very much. And this morning, Lord willing, we want to continue our study in regards to social media. And we will look today at social media. And we've talked about digital addiction. And I think all of us have lots of digital equipment, from computers to iPhones to all sorts of different things. We have those and we use them, and they're very helpful. But today I want to concentrate a little bit on social media, and I hope that it'll be helpful to you. So, what is social media? It's that form of electronic communication, such as websites for social networking and microblogging, through which users create online communities to share information, ideas, personal messages, and other content such as videos. Now that's Merriam-Webster's definition. When we look at the idea of, I don't know what in the world happened there, to social media, about 7.6 billion people in the world as of July 2018. That's a lot of folks. 2.2 billion are active users on Facebook alone since July the 9th, 2018. Facebook users average about 40 minutes per day on Facebook. Average Facebook user has 300 friends. Now, I debated whether or not to put that on there, because my guess is most of us are going to go home, we're going to look and say, okay, am I average? Do I have 300 friends? If you have less than that, you're going to feel bad. If you have more than that, you're going to feel great. And if you don't even have Facebook, you probably should feel even better. But social media. The internet has about 4.2 billion users. 3.03 billion active social media users. WhatsApp has 500 million monthly users. Twitter has about 284 million. Instagram, 600 million. 91% of retail brands use two or more social media channels. Whatever social media you're on, haven't you noticed if you go on line and you look for a pair of shoes? Have you noticed on their social media then how that advertisements come up about shoes? You know, Big Brother is watching. he knows they're connected, and it what you look at and what you search for is out there, and there are billions of people that are involved in that. Well, the question is for us today, is it wrong to be on Facebook or other social media? Now, the way we began some time ago, I wanted to remind us of this again, that from God's Word, we understand that there are things that are commanded. Baptism, Lord's Supper. To my knowledge, social media is not commanded. Secondly, there are things that are forbidden, like murder, fornication. To my knowledge, there's no text that says, thou shalt not use social media. No text says that. Thirdly, there are things of liberty, such as getting married or eating meat. I think that this is where social media falls. It's a matter of liberty. But even using social media as a liberty would involve some basic concepts. First of all, God's Word does guide us in liberties. So even though God's Word doesn't say use it, or God's Word doesn't say not use it, by the fact that it would be considered a liberty, that is still regulated in regards to liberties in the Word of God. And this is basically what it would say about liberties. You should not violate your own or another's conscience, based upon Romans the 14th chapter. And that would simply mean that if you put something on social media and you really think it's wrong for you to put this on social media, but for whatever reasons you put it on social media, then you sinned. You shouldn't violate your own conscience. And we should not, in any way, shape, form, or fashion, deliberately put something on there that is going to cause someone else to stumble or violate their conscience. All right? Secondly, it shouldn't lead you or others to sin. What we put on social media, am I sinning by what I put on social media? Am I causing others to sin by what I put on social media? So you have to keep that in your mind as a freedom, as a liberty. And that governs our life with lots of things. We may have a right to do something. The traditional example in Romans 14 and other texts is the eating of meat. Eating of meat is a liberty. God, under the new law, does not command you to eat meat. He does not forbid you to eat meat, but it's a liberty. So you could choose to eat it or not eat it. But if it violated your conscience, in other words, you felt like it was wrong to eat the meat, then liberty says, freedom of that would say, if it violates your conscience, don't eat the meat because it'll cause you to sin. And if you're with someone and they have a conscience against it, don't serve them meat. So you have to worry about yourself and you have to worry about others and how you affect them in regards to social media. Now, having said that, social media can be used for some really good things. And we've already talked about digital technology and how helpful they are. Right? We need a phone. I don't know how badly we actually, in definition, need. I don't think most scholars want to define the word need. But the reality is that we think we need this. We can't live without it. But there are some good that can be done. Some of you that are on Facebook, and I know that many folks would not be on Facebook, but those that are, and there are other social medias that this would apply to as well. If you're a friend with Gardner Hall, this is Sewell Hall's son. This would be Bill Hall's nephew. Okay, Gardner and Jerry Falk, who preaches as well, they have a lot of short video sermons. Now, so far, these two guys are only going to help you, and if you can speak Espanol, if you can speak Spanish. But they're doing a great work by putting little short sermons. And I know if you start listening to them, you'll want me to preach 3 minutes too. But it's a great work that they're doing. Okay? Scott Smelser and Stephen Rouse. Stephen is Larry Rouse's son. And they have a live chat Bible discussion on Facebook. And you can chime in and ask and so forth. And it's real good. And it's been very effective. So using social media for a live Bible study is a great thing. Steve Klein, who preaches at Eastside, who's preached here in meetings. Trent Barksdale, he preaches at Pettisville. They do live streaming sermons and Bible studies. And those are very helpful. And there are many, many, many more that are on Facebook if you become friends with them. What a blessing it has been for us, and we don't do near what we could do in regards to Zimbabwe Brethren. Many of you have become friends with Taka and Trymore and some of his workers. And that's a great thing. And they constantly are sending you pictures, are they not? And they're sending reports and so forth. And if you're friends with them, then that helps you to keep up with what's going on. And it's great. And it's wonderful. One thing we have not done that one of our brethren over at Capshaw, Jamie Newton, He's real close friends with Trymore, and they have a Facebook video conversation at certain times each week, and they talk to each other. And you can speak to his family, and his, you know, so forth and so on. And there's lots of that. I mean, that's a great thing. That's a blessing to be able to have that. But social media can be used for evil things and has been used for evil things. And so I would like for us to think a little bit about just some warnings. And it's not necessarily that I'm tagging anybody here with any wrongs or so forth. But certainly, as the old saying goes, if the shoe fits, you need to wear it. And the reality is that if you're in any shape, form, or fashion doing any of these kinds of evil things, then you need to stop it. You need to repent and not do that anymore. Because I can't think of any more public thing that someone can sin in than with social media. That is even much more public than we have traditionally known for centuries. Just living life, going to work, going to school, and being a normal human being. Social media has opened up our lives to billions of people all over the world. I've noticed on Facebook that, and I keep saying Facebook, and I know lots of people don't do that. A lot of people do a lot of other things. But I do notice on Facebook, here is Trymore and Taka and other brethren on the other side of the world. And they're liking and commenting on Facebook posts that you post. People around the world know what you're doing. And then there's friends of friends of friends of friends of friends. Especially if you do things that are open to the public, that all of the billions of people that are on Facebook have access to. And once it's there, it's there. Does your social media really represent who you are? And I think that's a fair question. When we talk about what Jesus said in Matthew 5, He said to let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. When I put something on social media, is that a true image of who I am? It has great potential for good. And each of us as Christians can influence, because many of us have friends that are not Christians. And I would just say this, if I don't bring it up later, I'll be able to forget it, but I'll just say it now. A lot of us have friends, I have friends from high school. And many of those people, not Christians, they put some inappropriate pictures on there. And I hope that you would understand when you see that, that you understand that they're not Christians. But when I see it, and I don't look at Facebook all that often, but when I do look at it and I see something that was put on there, it was inappropriate. A couple of my really good friends that I had in high school, I didn't go with them to drinking parties and so forth, but they were into drinking parties. And they still drink. And they'll show pictures of them drinking and so forth. And when I see that, I hide that post. I wipe it out. But social media can be a potential for good, but we have to pay attention to it. Potential alone does not please God. I want to suggest to us that acting on that potential is pleasing to God. Now, what do I mean by that? We may have the intent and purpose that we got on Facebook for good purposes. If you're your grandma and grandpa, you get to see some video or some pictures that your kids, grandkids put on there. And we get to see that from other friends and so forth. And that's a beauty. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. It's enjoyable. Friends get together and they enjoy one another's company, and they post pictures of having a good time and so forth. And I'm always really envious when Eddie and his boys post those pictures of all those fish they've caught. I mean, it's just like, man, that's awesome. That's great. But I'm jealous because I wasn't with them to, you know, catch those fish and so forth. But that's a good thing. And that's what social media is about. All right? But just potential alone, if we're not cognizant, if we're not paying attention, if we're not responsible, if we don't hold ourselves accountable, then we can take something that is good and it can represent us to others as something that is not good. Stop and think seriously before you post on social media. Just pause a minute before you click that button. Is it all about you? I've noticed this with lots of folks. When I first got on social media, somebody would post, and you hadn't heard anything, you hadn't seen anything of them whatsoever, and then this is what they post. Well, that was crazy. I bet it was. What? And you'll see people that'll answer that, or you know, comment on that and say, "What? What's going on?" And never hear another thing about it. Well, here's someone that is in their own little world, which is fine. But then they go to a social media and they type something like that, and then all these people see this, and it's like, "What?" Well, it's like this person is thinking out loud, and they are. And nobody knows what's going on. That's not necessarily sinful. Why just call it crazy that you would do that? And then people post what they have for breakfast. You know, their shoe became untied. I don't know if I've read that, but it's just crazy things that people put on there. And again, it's social media, but. Do we feel the necessity of posting everything we're thinking, doing, and post pictures of it? I go to the bathroom, let's take a picture and then we'll post it. What? No. Well, it's easy, and I've seen this in Facebook, that it's almost like someone has to have this avenue to make themselves be out there. And when you look at God's Word, it's easy to get sucked up in self. And it's important that we understand that the Bible teaches against that. Being a Christian is not for you to be all wrapped up in that you are the center of the universe. That is a major psychological, more importantly, Christian issue. Don't be that kind of person. To where you're on social media and it's just like, you know, God hung the moon on you. That's not what it's about. Consider, Paul said, others is more important than yourself. The second thing is that, is this really appropriate? And we are so very quick to share and to like something. And I must say, there have been some really, really great brethren that I'm friends with that have shared something and or liked something, and there's all sorts of right in the title filth and foul words that are used. And the first reaction to that is, what? Then my second reaction is, okay, this person did not really take the time to read and edit what they shared. There was something in there that they saw that got their attention, and they liked that, and they just quickly put share. And especially if you share and public it, everybody in the world gets it. And everybody now knows that you, whoever they know you are, as a Christian, you liked it, and there's filth and foul right in the text. Well, first of all, if someone sends me that, who, regardless of who they are, if someone shares on my timeline something like that, it has filthy language in it, I hide it immediately. I delete that. And if it becomes kind of a regular kind of thing, that this person, whoever they are, they regularly share things that are filthy and dirty and inappropriate, I defriend that person. Even if they're a Christian. Because it's inappropriate. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 21. This is the basis of why I'm saying this. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 says, "But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil." The ability, and this is where social media has outrun most of us. I've been writing and preaching for a long time. And especially when I write for the newspaper or a bulletin or a Brotherhood magazine or something other, there's no telling how many times that I read that and reread that and read that and reread that. And it's amazing. You could read it 10 times and I could let my wife read it and she'll catch a couple of mistakes. Misspelled words, proper or improper grammar, just things that are typos. All right? Most of us are not good editors. We look at things so quickly and we become very affected by this. And I'll give you another example. Something that really becomes kind of inappropriate is that some denominational person will make a reference to some denominational person's sermon or article. And what happens is, and maybe they do make a good point, and you share that, or you repost that, you copy and cut and paste it. But then, this particular information, when really studied and looked at, is teaching false doctrine. And maybe the person only read one paragraph. What happens many times, and I'm just going to put it in this kind of terminology, just broad stroke, the general average person in the pew can read something and it's kind of one of these feel-good things, and then you share it. When studied closer, it's much more than that. It is Satan in sheep's clothing. So all I'm saying is, Facebook can be an opportunity to share very inappropriate things. Be careful what you share. Be careful what you like. Does it really fit into the scripture of things that are wholesome and good? Whether it's some band, some singer, from time to time, people like to put a whole video of a song. And you listen to the song, and there's a lot of filth and foul and dirty insinuation in it. You know, as a Christian, we shouldn't be sharing that. So it's inappropriate. So if it doesn't fit into the Philippians 4 and 8, whatever thing is good, report, everything is... So remember that passage? If it doesn't fit in that passage, then don't post it. Just don't post it. Another is, are you really promoting evil and sin? And by that I mean immodesty and fornication and dirty words and alcohol. I mean, there's lots of commercialized things that are on Facebook and other medias. There are hundreds and hundreds of businesses that are trying to sell their goods. And if you have your timeline there, you'll notice on the timeline that there's all kinds of advertisements. And if you hide that, it'll give you several questions in regards to, well, why are you hiding this? Was this inappropriate? Was it, you know, this or that, the other? Did it show nudity? You know, that kind of thing. Well, if you're trying to get rid of that off of your timeline, you can take the opportunity to answer, and that's doing good in regards to trying to show that you're not for that. You're not going to promote that kind of thing. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, a biblical basis for this kind of issue, Paul says, "And do not give the devil an opportunity." Now you think about that. Especially if it's a joke. I've had Christian friends that have put some of the most funny, vulgar, dirty jokes on Facebook you can imagine. And other Christians pass it and share it. Do you understand we're giving the devil an opportunity here? Verse 29 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such as a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear." If it's not promoting good, then it's not promoting good. And if it's not promoting good, probably we should stay away from that. Is it sinful to like or share the sins of others? When somebody's committing sin, when somebody is committing wrong, somebody is doing things that are sinful, is that something we want to share and repeat? Is that something we want to like? And especially in the political arena. Whether you're for Trump or against Trump, there will be posts that comes across that can have every filth and foul language, maybe some picture that's inappropriate, and more than likely, false news, fake news, both pro and con, to whomever you are for. And it's a lie. If you would take the time to check, if you take a time to search, you find that somebody superimposed Hillary Clinton's picture there, or Miss Ford's picture there, or Donald Trump's picture, or Kavanaugh's picture, and put that in there to be pro or con for someone, and it's just a facade. It's a fake. And we're so quick to share that. We live in a very volatile time, brethren. Just in regards to this Supreme Court hearing and all that's gone on, my guess, if we took a poll here amongst us, we would be all over the board in regards to what we like, what we dislike, what we think, what we don't think. We'd be all over the board on that. And you know who's promoting through a digital technology, television and radio and computer? Do you know what we as a people are being fed? Divisive, sectarian craziness. It's not only going to destroy our country, it's going to destroy us as a people of God. Because many Christians have jumped right in with both feet. Sure, I have feelings about these things. And I'm sure you have feelings about these things. But if we're not careful, we're out here on social media sharing with people. I'll give you another quick example. Many years ago, when I lived in Kentucky, the area where we lived at, in Louisville, Kentucky, they just started segregation. And that was mean and dirty, and people rioted. And there were members of the church, members of the church, who were caught on the local news out throwing rocks at buses. Now the devil must have been just laughing himself silly that Christians would do such a stupid thing. We have our rights. We're against this. And I'm not saying we don't, as a society or as a people, even God's people, have a right in certain areas. Remember Paul when he's in prison? They found out he's a Roman citizen. They found out they had messed up. You remember that they sent word to Paul and say, "Oh, okay, we're sorry. Would you mind just leaving out the back door and so we could?" And he said, "No, you put me here. You come." I mean, he was taking a stand for other Christians in the future to be treated with dignity and respect according to the Roman law. He was making a point there, but he wasn't throwing rocks at them. He wasn't doing something riotous. And they didn't have digital technology to blast it all over the world and to bring a shame and discouragement to other people. I think sometimes we just don't think. We do something and we haven't thought about it. The lesson today is for you to think about it. Are you really posting unloving and hateful things? Sometimes brethren can get really ugly with each other and they're bitter, especially if there's been some church division, if there's been some kind of divorce situation. Well, sometimes you can have friends and they can really go at it on in this social media. We're supposed to be Christians online too. It's not okay to say it on social media if you would not personally say it, either privately or to someone. In fact, it's worse. Ephesians 5, 31 and 32, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." There was a time, and I ought to say in a land far, far away, in another time, maybe right after the Civil War, doesn't make any difference, but it was within the time frame of having social media, that my wife and I, we had to work with a group of people that there was a great division. And everybody was friends with one another on Facebook. And they became divided. And all of that was being aired on social media. Brethren, that ought not to be. As my mother used to say so lovingly and so kind to me, "Boy, if you ain't got something good to say, then keep your mouth shut." That rule pretty well follows with social media. Because we're airing our dirty laundry out before the world. Some just enjoy stirring up controversy. Some of my former best good friends love to post things just to start an argument. I've noticed of recent, finally, enough people have gotten the idea that as a general rule, it's not a good idea to raise questions on social media that are going to cause a ruckus. Because everybody and his brother will throw into the argument, there is no good that comes from it except division. We should never shy away from teaching the truth. But if you get on social media and you raise a question just to be divisive, you sow that wind, you will reap the whirlwind. And that ain't good far as God, the judge of all things. What about an online emotional affair? You say, "What? Never heard of that." Actually known of a Christian that there wasn't anything physical that ever happened. But they were having an emotional romantic affair online. Now Jesus said, "You've heard it said of old, you should not commit adultery. But I say unto you." He brings in the idea of what we think in our hearts. So you can envision or picture something that would be fornicating. But if you're having an illicit conversation with someone, male or female, today it goes both ways. And you're talking filthy sexual things, and you're carrying on with this person verbally, in a very adulterous way, would we not all agree that that would be sinful? According to the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers, Facebook has been a primary source of evidence for divorce proceedings. Think about that. Many use social media for flirting with someone, not their spouse. You just should never, ever, guys, post anything, text anything, tweet anything that even hints of any kind of flirting sexual thing. Women, same thing. And certainly, if someone is asking you to send them a picture, even if you're using this, I've forgotten the name of it, but there's a social media program that you can tweet something or you can send something, information, whether it's verbiage or if it's a picture, they see it for a short period of time and then it disappears. No trace. So somebody asks for a picture of yourself. Former preacher, friend of mine. His wife wasn't that smart, and I'm not making that as a feminine knockdown. It was just her particularly. She worked at a business, and he looked at her phone, and she was sending pictures of herself in very sexy garments. And her husband, he saw that on her feed, he asked her about it. Duh. Who are you sending this to? Well, there's this guy at work. He's been asking me for these kinds of pictures, and I thought I'd just send them to him so that he quit asking me. Now, I see several of you just smiling a little bit, like, what an idiot. Exactly. Come to find out, she knew better than that. She was smarter than she was letting on. Anybody ask you for an inappropriate picture? The obvious answer would be no. Secondly, get them off of your feed. Now, I'm saying this because not only have adults who are married got themselves into that, I'm talking about members of the church. For some reason, they have thought that that's cute and kind of funny and, you know, kind of flirtatious, but not really doing anything wrong. Wrong. That is as wrong and sinful as it could be. But our young people, parents, you need to be very aware of your girls. They're bombarded by all of these perverts they go to school with. And they are wanting to see anything they can. You have to be very careful. People looking up old sweethearts just to catch up. Well, that old boyfriend I had back there in 1873. Wonder how he's doing now. Well, he's been divorced 3 times and you really did love him and y'all did this and did that. And so you just thought, well, I'll just see how he's doing. And then, bam. You think that don't happen? It's happened tons of times with Christians. You need to be careful. Making private things public. That is biblically a major no-no, according to Jesus in Matthew 18. If there's some private thing, don't even begin to open up social media of any kind to even discuss it. If it's private, it's private. Keep it that way. Don't let social media control you. I know some Christians who have just left the real world and have gone into this world, and this is their world. Don't do that to yourself. Don't allow that to happen. Is this good? Can it be used for good things? Yes. Can it be used for bad things? Yes. Billions of people can see what you post on social media. Billions of people. So is it okay for me to post on this screen what you post on social media? How about if at some point in time we just all agreed to to hold each other personally accountable for our social media. And anything you post, pictures at the beach, going on vacation and drinking, anything you put on social media is fair game to put right up there and identify who you are and what you did. I guarantee you that would never pass in this church. You know why? Because you don't want people seeing that. But yet billions of people do. Billions see it. No big deal. I just want to say in passing, men, your wives showing their naked behinds on Facebook, and then billions of others see that. What kind of man are you? Your daughters now can be the subject of all kinds of perversion throughout in the pictures of your young children. Did you know that the problem in our country and the world with pedophiles? Are you aware of that? And we allow our children to be dressed in the most ungodly things, and we just post all kinds of pictures of it? That's not wise, brethren. I wonder how many of us would continue to use social media the way we do if we really thought about this passage. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11, the text says, "And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands just as we commanded you." I'd just like to encourage you to read that passage and think about it. Maybe even just kind of type it up and put it on a little card and put it on your computer screen. And then the passage that obviously we ought always think about as well. Our Lord in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12 says, "Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do so for them, for this is the law and the prophets." Well, I've never done a sermon on social media until just a few weeks ago. And I must be honest with you, until I really started researching it and thinking about it, and thinking about myself, thinking about my wife, thinking about my kids, my grandkids, and thinking about you, I thought, well, you know, would that really be any benefit to us? And I got to thinking about all the people that have gone wrong. I hope and pray that it has caused you to think. I hope and pray that whether you're a father, you're a mother, you're a child, grandparent, you think very seriously about it. Thank you for listening today. Some notes there that have to do with you becoming a Christian. And all of this is informational, I hope, preventive, maintenance teaching that helps encourage us and teaches us. And certainly parents, if you have not already had this kind of conversation with your child, you need to go home and have this conversation regularly with your child, because they are living in a very perverted world. This area is very conservative in many ways. Whether you go to Lauderdale or you go to Lexington or wherever you go, this is pretty much a conservative area. But you know, and I know, that there is plenty of sinful people that live in this area. And our kids are susceptible to that. They are vulnerable to that. So if you say nothing about it, you don't talk to them about it, they are prime suspects for this. And I didn't put it in my notes. I didn't really want to go there. I did another lesson, and maybe I'll do that at some point in time. But did you know the number one way that sexual predators find out whom they may attack is through social media? And parents, again, you let pictures get on there that are inappropriate of your children, and you think they're innocent, and you think they're little, and nobody's going to think anything, you are wrong, wrong, wrong. They can find out where you live, where they go to school, and that's the world we live in. I'm not trying to frighten us and scare us to death and make us paranoid, but I'm trying to wake us up to reality. If you don't want it posted up there, then don't ever post it on social media. That'd be a good rule to follow. Are you a Christian? Are you living the way you ought to live? God offers us forgiveness. He offers us peace. He offers us guidelines how to live our lives in a godly way. And it began with the passage in Isaiah. My ways is not God's ways. My thoughts are not God's thoughts. And this may hurt my feelings. This may upset me. But I just need to ask myself a serious question. How does God want me to live my life? Is obeying the gospel what God wants me to do? If I can help you, if God can help you, if any of us can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?
I have decided to follow.